The archaeological evidence indicates that the Indus Valley culture flourished between 3000 and 1500 BCE. About 70 different cities have been unearthed so far, and they display remarkably similar features, suggesting a social and political unity. At its height, the Indus Valley civilization may have spanned over 1 million square kilometers. Most important of the excavated sites are Mohenjo-Daro and Harappa, which appears to have been the capital. The civilization, in fact, is sometimes referred to as the Harappan culture. These cities may have each contained a population as large as 40,000. They were well-organized, carefully planned cities. The Indus Valley was apparently a relatively peaceful culture, since very few weapons have been discovered. The residences were especially impressive, many of them equipped with indoor bathrooms and plumbing. In fact, great concern with cleanliness is evidenced throughout the civilization. Not only did homes feature sophisticated bathing and toilet facilities, but municipalities did as well. Mohenjo-Daro and Harappa each had a large central bath with public access. These public baths antedate similar facilities in ancient Rome by many centuries. The prominence of these baths in homes and cities suggests that the dwellers of the Indus Valley civilization were concerned with more than simple hygiene. Like many pre-modern cultures, the Indus Valley civilization seems to have been greatly interested in matters of ritual purity. Now, ritual purity is not a concept that is terribly familiar to modern Westerners, so it might be helpful to spend a moment dwelling upon this notion, especially because it might be confused with the idea of physical hygiene. All societies maintain structures of order, what we might simply call the sense of what is right and appropriate. These structures are not always explicit or written out as laws. Taboos are often given to those areas of life where one may run the risk of violating order. It is important for these structures to be maintained lest personal and social chaos erupt. That is why in many cultures, taboos are reinforced with harsh punishments for violations. One of the most common ways for societies to maintain order and keep chaos at bay is with the opposition of cleanliness and dirt, or more technically, purity and pollution. Essentially, all societies have things that they regard as clean and dirty. These things might be foods or people or kinds of activities. What counts as clean and dirty varies greatly from culture to culture and time to time. Some cultures find pork to be unclean. Others consider it a great delicacy. This has nothing to do with hygiene as such, but it has a great deal to do with social and religious order. Frequently, cleanliness and dirtiness are functions of context rather than the intrinsic nature of things. For example, suppose I'm at a restaurant enjoying a green salad. As long as I observe proper etiquette and politely convey my food to my mouth with a fork, all is well. But the moment I drop a piece of dressing-drenched lettuce on my tie, dirt has happened. On the plate, on the fork, in my mouth, the lettuce is nice and clean. On my tie, it is dirt. Nothing about the lettuce itself has changed, but its context has, and a sense of order has been violated. Some people will not drink water drawn from the bathroom tap because they regard it as somehow dirty. It's not really unhygienic because it's the same water that comes from the kitchen tap, and it's the same water used for brushing teeth. But to some people, Drinking water from a bathroom tap seems out of place and inappropriate, and hence dirty.